there. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming at KMUZ.org. This is where Marion and Polk Soil and Water Conservation Districts shine a light on partnerships and programs that conserve our beautiful natural resources in the Willamette Valley. We're illuminating our collective mission of conserving soil, water, and natural resources for urban and agricultural audiences in the Willamette Valley.
I'm Chelsea Blank, your host and the Natural Areas Conservation Planner from Marion Soil and Water Conservation District. On this episode today, we're talking with Rachel Cato, the new CREP technician for Yamhill and Marion Counties. Today, we'll cover the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program and how this funding opportunity can help landowners improve water quality and habitat on working lands. So, what brought you into the world of conservation and riparian management?
I have always had a deep love for nature and a strong commitment to conserving it. From a young age, I was really interested in conserving wildlife and passionate about gardening, and I spent a lot of my childhood gardening and birding. And as a bird nerd, my passion expanded into becoming incredibly obsessed with native plants and restoring natural habitats and increasing biodiversity specifically. I'm especially concerned about how current extinction rates are 1,000 times higher than those found in the fossil record, which has motivated me to get more involved in habitat conservation. And I feel especially grateful that my work in conservation, particularly in riparian management, allows me to actively contribute to the protection of wildlife. Riparian areas are crucial, as 70% of endangered species in the United States depend on these habitats for their survival, and I feel lucky to play a role in helping to conserve these habitats and these species.
So can you go into a little bit about what are riparian zones and what makes them so important?
Riparian zones or areas are lands that occur along the edges of rivers, streams, lakes, and other water bodies. Examples include stream banks, river banks, and floodplains. They're different from the surrounding uplands because their soils and vegetation are shaped by the presence of water. Riparian zones are also really important. Even though they generally occupy small areas on the landscape, they're usually more diverse when it comes to both plants and animals than all the adjacent upland areas. So they're a very important place for biodiversity and for maintaining a bunch of different species that rely on them.
So you mentioned how crucial riparian zones are. Can you go a little bit more into that? So what makes them such important parts of the environment, and what is so important about protecting them?
Yeah, so they obviously provide habitat, which is not just habitat for species to live, but they provide refuges in hot weather. A lot of spaces don't have shade, and riparian areas tend to have higher vegetation, a bigger canopy, so animals will go there to cool down in the warmer weather. They provide water sources for wildlife, and they oftentimes serve as important migration routes for wildlife. They're also important in helping to maintain water quality. Riparian vegetation has the capacity to remove excess nutrients and sediment from surface runoff, which is really important. It also stabilizes stream banks and reduces floodwater velocity.
Yeah, so it's kind of working like full circle, like not only for animals, also in-stream animals and soil. The vegetation acts as a buffer from pollutants, which is why it's so important to have it on like agricultural barriers, I'm guessing. And so, you know, you touched on migration routes for wildlife. So things like salmon, right? I mean, we know that's like a really important species to protect.
The root structure of the riparian vegetation can provide habitat complexity, which helps fish to breed and survive. And it also cools stream temperatures, which is especially important for providing habitat for many of our native fish. Mm-hmm. A lot of species, such as coho and steelhead, require cold water to survive, especially in the earlier stages in life. So
Oh.
the shade that riparian vegetation provides to streams is really important to helping these species to flourish.
Keeping cool both for fish, but also for other wildlife and like heat waves and in the summer, which, you know, we've been seeing a lot more heat domes and really intense summers happen. Can you tell us a bit more about the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP for short? What is that and how does it work?
CREP is a voluntary program for landowners with a degraded riparian area on their property. It is a state and federal partnership that allows landowners to receive incentive payments and cost shares for riparian restoration on these properties. Some of the restoration activities can include invasive plant removal, native tree and shrub plantings, off-stream watering facilities for livestock, and fencing to exclude livestock from the waterway. The main goal of this program is to restore, maintain, and enhance streamside areas in agricultural lands, especially with the goals of benefiting fish, wildlife, and water quality. It's a pretty simple program to get enrolled in. It's not a competitive program like a lot of other sources for restoration funding. So if you have an area on your property that qualifies as either degraded pasture, which means that it has been historically grazed, a lot of areas in the state have been historically grazed. Oftentimes that's what it would classify as, or if the area is crop that's going to be taken out of production and used in a riparian buffer, you just schedule a site visit and generally I will be able to tell you if you qualify or not. Most likely you do. And as long as you qualify, you are in the program. So it's not competitive. As the CREP technician, I do the majority of the work in applying for the cost share and the program for you. So that's one of the benefits of it too. There's very little work when it comes to paperwork required of the landowners.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, you mentioned that it needs to be like degraded and working lands taking out of production, right? So we know in Marion County, especially, I think it's something like 97% of the land in Marion County is in private ownership. And so much of that is specifically for agriculture. So there is a lot of need in Marion County. I'm not sure about how it is in Yamhill, but I know in Marion, there's a ton of need for this type of work on our waterways.
Yeah. And also, even if you bought a property that was recently a working land, but you have areas that are pasture that currently aren't working lands, they can be taken, technically, I guess, production, but they can be taken out of that state and enrolled in the program. So there's a lot of flexibility in it. I've noticed that Marion County could really benefit from this program. I see a lot of riparian areas when I'm driving around that are just lacking canopy cover. And I know that a lot of the streams and rivers in the area have been listed for contamination issues or low oxygen. And so I'm really hoping that CREP can help benefit the water quality overall throughout the county.
Right. And it's voluntary, like you said. So we are really counting on people to want to do the right thing by their wildlife and their habitat. So yeah, you mentioned a little bit about what a CREP project looks like. So for example, that you gave is removing invasive species and replanting with natives, maybe adding in some like livestock fencing. So what's an example of like how a timeline would look like for a CREP project?
Generally, the first year of a CREP project is focused on removing invasive species. I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with Himalayan blackberry. That's a big one that ends up getting removed, or ivy or reed canary grass. So we remove generally, there's going to be a lot more invasive species in the area, but we remove the ones that are the biggest bullies that leave the least amount of space for natives to come in. We're not going to focus on an invasive like prickly lettuce that just grows in tiny patches. We're going to focus on those ones that just dominate and take over and leave room for nobody else.
Yeah.
So in the first year, we focus on just clearing those species so we have room to plant. And then in the second year, the fun part Removing invasive species is never as fun as seeing all the new trees and shrubs and biodiversity. So the second year, we plant a variety of native shrubs and trees in the riparian area. And then after that, there's two more years of follow-up where you can do spot spraying or removing of invasives from around those trees, because they're just going to be small little seedlings, help them establish. And then the end result is going to be this beautiful riparian area with a lot of biodiversity. I'm really focusing my planting plans for the area on increasing species diversity. You're going to end up with like flowering shrubs, trees, edible natives, natives that provide wildlife habitat, just a great abundance of life.
That's awesome. Yeah. So not just thinking of like a monoculture of one tree species, but thinking about providing habitat for a variety of different kind of wildlife and ecosystem functions. Do those projects typically include plant protection methods? Or so say someone has a lot of deer on their property, or maybe beaver, is there kind of ways to account for that in the CREP plans?
Yeah, the plans will cost share tree protection when it's necessary, and we can go through and look at which trees are most at risk, so you're not just having to use tree protectors on every single plant. We have some methods for like planting extra willows to maybe distract the beaver from the other plants, because willows are going to be more cost effective and beavers love them.
So is a lot of that initial upfront project implementation, is that done by the landowner or through contractors hired through CREP? Who kind of manages the actual work of these projects?
As the CREP technician, I am going to provide the enrollees with a planting plan. So I will have a species list for you. I'll help you figure out where things are going to do best. And then the landowner is the one who's either responsible. The landowner can do the work or they can hire a contractor. Either way, 75% of that is cost shared through the program. There are maximums for the cost share. You will hire the contractors as the technical assistant. I can also help you by providing you with some resources for where to find contractors. I can help provide, because the landowner is also responsible for purchasing the plants for the project, I can provide a list of nurseries that might have the plants in stock. It's not always an easy process to find native species. So we have all of the soil and water conservation districts have pretty nice lists and resources to help you do that. And as the CREP technician, I will help guide you through that.
So there's a lot of support for whatever kind of way the landowner would prefer to manage their project.
Yeah, there is. I have a really exciting CREP project that I'm working on now. So I have one landowner who is working on an organic farm. So we're not going to use any herbicide to remove the invasive species. Okay. And that landowner has a huge volunteer base. So we're going to use volunteers digging invasives, which is really awesome.
Wow.
And then we're also going to, because it is in an oak savanna, we're going to look at adding more species that will not shade out the oak trees, because their conservation is really important.
Yeah.
And the landowner is kind of interested in a focus on more edible and other kinds of species that can be used. For example, like you can weave with willows. So we're going to look into species that have other uses and just adding a lot of diversity and really cool natives. That's a really fun project. So it's always catered within reason. They have to be native plants. But I like to work with the landowners and do really creative planting plans. And if someone has an area where they don't want people trespassing and they're worried that the riparian area is going to block their view from their house, we might put some spikier species in that area. Or if they have an area that they can view from their property that they want to look especially beautiful, we can focus on maybe that being the area where we put more flowering species. So there's a lot of flexibility within reason within the program.
Wow, that's awesome that you're taking those things in consideration to customize their plans on like those little details like that. You are listening to the Conservation Spotlight, a regular segment of Willamette Wake Up on KMUZ Community Radio, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, and streaming on KMUZ.org. I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, and I'm speaking with Rachel Cato, the Multi-County Riparian Specialist who serves Yamhill and Marion counties. What kind of benefits are available for producers who might be interested in enrolling in CREP?
The program offers an annual rental rate for taking the property out of production, along with an incentive for signing the contract. In my opinion, one of the greatest benefits of the program is the cost sharing for restoration activities. I know that a lot of people, like, they look at that sea of blackberry on their land and they're like, how am I ever going to deal with this? It's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so we're lucky in Oregon, we have a 75% cost share, meaning that the landowner only needs to cover 25% of the costs of invasive removal and planting. The two steps in the restoration process are really important, because if you simply remove the blackberry from your land and don't plant something in its place, that's going to leave open real estate for other invasives to come in, or blackberry just to come right back, blackberry, reed canary, whatever your problem species is. So planting natives in its place is going to make sure that you've replaced it with healthy native vegetation, and it'll give that native plant community the opportunity to outcompete the invasives. And having the ability to cost share this and having the technical assistance to help you make the choices for your landscape, I'm going to look into the soil types, the light availability, how much the area floods, and help you make those choices that are going to help your native plant community thrive. So that technical assistance is also another really important benefit combined with the cost sharing. And I will be available to answer any of the questions you have. So when you're coming across unique issue as you're working on restoring your property, me as the technician, I will do what I can to help you answer that question and come up with ways to solve.
Yeah, that's awesome, because a lot of people don't have that access to that specialized technical information, like you mentioned, the soils and like the different conditions that plants thrive on. Like, that's really localized information and education that you build up over time. So a lot of people know that they have invasive Himalayan blackberry, but they don't necessarily realize how to keep it away long term and what types of plants are going to be best with their specific site conditions.
The different interesting problems that we come across in restoration work.
That cost share rate is super generous. 75% is really, really generous. That is awesome. So you kind of already touched on this, but is there anything else we should know about how folks can get enrolled in the program and who's eligible?
So in general, I like to make sure that we have at least 1 acre of land enrolled in the program. So if you have a portion of riparian area on your land that looks degraded, it is best to reach out to me. I can check and see whether or not it's degraded pasture. You would be surprised how much degraded pasture we have in Marion County. And then if it's crop, it is obviously a great fit for the program. So once you've thought about the program, and if you want me to come out and look at your property, tell you if it would qualify for the program, you can reach out to me at either my email address, which is rachel@yamhillswcd.org. Rachel is spelled R-A-C-H-E-L, and then it's yamhillswcd.org, or you can call my phone. The number is 971-241-9479. I'm going to say it really slowly this time.
Okay.
971-241-9479.
Nice. And even though your email is at Yamhill, you still serve in Marion County too, right?
Yes, I work in both counties.
So obviously you spend a lot of time in riparian zones. So if you could paint a picture of what a high quality riparian zone with healthy habitat looks, sounds, and feels like, what would that be?
A high quality riparian zone is full of diverse trees, shrubs, and small understory plants. So it just looks vibrant and full of life. And oftentimes it'll feel a lot cooler than the surrounding areas. Like I remember times that I've been working as a field botanist and I've been out in the field and it's so hot and I'm so miserable. And then I see a riparian area and I'm like, oh, thank you. It's going to be cold here. It's relatively cold. And I think another really magical part of riparian areas is just how full of life they are. Sometimes you'll go in to these healthy riparian habitats and just be overwhelmed by birdsong, which is just so much fun.
If you could give one of your most important pieces of advice to someone who wants to improve a riparian habitat, what would you say?
I would say look for opportunities to learn and to volunteer. I think that learning and serving as a source of information for others is really important. We live in a world where we really rely these days on information sharing online and just getting information out there because there's so many things that people don't know. I've met so many people who are like, I thought Himalayan blackberry was native. And like you being able to be the voice that nicely, like that friendly voice that's like, I know those berries are so yummy, but it is not native. And
And you know, actually the trailing blackberry, the native blackberry berries, I think are better.
They are better, hands down. And being able to inspire people with little facts like that and make it fun to care about nature and sharing your joy of nature with others and just sharing the importance it has to you, I think is one way to really benefit healthy riparian habitats. Another way is to look for volunteer opportunities. There's so many in Marion County. You could look into anything that Marion Soil and Water Conservation District is doing. I know Pudding River Watershed Council might have some events. Mm-hmm. You can look on the county website, look at your favorite parks. Sometimes they'll have flyers up for volunteer events. There's just so many great ways to get involved.
Yeah, that's so true. Thank you for that plug. And I will also mention North Saniam Watershed Council, which is another huge, really helpful organization in Marion County, at least. I know that they're reopening some of their riparian area county parks that were impacted by the wildfires in 2020. So there's a lot of volunteer opportunities in that area, too, to help with reopening some of those public spaces for enjoying riparian zones. Okay, so we saved the best question for last, I think. So what is your favorite riparian plant and why?
I came up with three. Whenever anyone asks me what my favorite plant is, it's a dangerous rabbit hole. So my two favorite small riparian plants are skunk cabbage and wapato. When it comes to skunk cabbage, I think I really like that it looks so tropical, but it's native to the Willamette Valley and the huge leaves, like it's pretty majestic. And then when it comes to riparian, like bigger plants, I really like a shrub called spreading gooseberry. I really love that it has these like delicate little like almost fringe-like flowers. And then the best part is it has edible fruits.
Yeah, so multi-purpose. I feel like that's one you don't really see as much or you don't hear about as commonly as some of those other big hitter riparian plants like red flowering currant, willows, dogwood. Douglas spirea. So I love that. You kind of have creative answers. Those are a little bit more rare.
I thought that it was like relatively rare. And so like I've looked for it online and been like, how do I buy this plant? Mm-hmm. And then I've actually been surprised because I've gone out to some riparian restoration projects and I see it just growing naturally there. So I think it's just one that's not talked about as much. And I'm really excited to get more of it planted on restoration projects because it's so cool seeing it naturally there.
Yeah, that one has like thorns, right? I see that a lot in like really natural areas that haven't been developed, like along kind of backcountry trails and stuff. I see it there a lot.
Yeah, I saw it recently in Yamhill County, like in a riparian area by some ag land. And the landowner and I were both like, even though I'm a gooseberry super fan, she and I were both like, is that a hawthorn? That's a lot of hawthorn because the leaves do look like hawthorn. Yeah. And then we got closer and we saw the beautiful flowers and we both like celebrated for a long time. There was a lot of jumping up and down and screaming.
So you thank you for sharing your contact information so people kind of have an idea now of how to get in contact with you if they're interested in CREP. So is there anything else that you would like to share? Any last thoughts to leave with folks? Any upcoming events or plugs you'd like to give before we sign off today?
So as a native plant nerd, I would like to encourage people, even if you don't have, I know CREP is for really big properties. I don't have a big property. I have a tiny property and I am putting all natives in my yard. And for those of you who don't have yards, there are ways to, even on your little apartment porch, you can benefit some pollinators and just put some native plants in pots. And there's just so many ways to get native plants out there. And I'd just like to motivate everyone to look into how beautiful and awesome native plants are and to find ways to incorporate them more into your life, your landscaping, your friends' landscaping, your relatives, anyone you know, plant natives.
Yay. Yes, that's such a good message. I agree. And I love that idea that you don't need to own a ton of land to make an impact and do conservation yourself. So thank you for that. Always a great reminder. And thank you so much for being here today. It's always great to get to know you better and get to chat with you and learn about what you've been doing as the new CREP technician. So I'm really excited to see what you can get done and what types of projects you start to work on in Yamhill and Marion counties.
Thank you for having me on the show.
I've been talking with Rachel Cato, the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program technician, and I'm your host, Chelsea Blank, with Marion SWCD. Thank you for taking a few minutes to share the light with us. We are grateful for a community of conservation-minded folks who know the importance of partnerships. If you would like more information on this topic, please visit our website at marionswcd.net and our Facebook page for follow-up information. If you're interested in the management of Detroit Reservoir, consider coming to our August 1st Friday webinar with Gregory Taylor, fisheries biologist in the Willamette Valley for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And visit with us at Englewood Forest Festival on August 10th, where we will be making native wildflower seed balls. And we hope you join us at the Stream Celebration at Pringle Park from 4 to 7 on Thursday, August 22nd, which promises to be a fun way to learn more about local waterways and riparian areas. More information about these and other events is available in the events section of our website at marionswcd.net. And if you liked what you heard here on the Conservation Spotlight, tune in on the third Wednesday of next month to KMUZ at 100.7 or 88.5 FM at 8 a.m. during Willamette Wake Up. Thanks for listening and keep your light shining.